Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to our show. Today is May 27th, 2016, and the fourth of our weekly South-Centered live streaming radio and video shows. We air these on the South Centers channel here at the Ohio State University South Centers in Piketon, Ohio. Our goal is simple, to inform our listening and viewing audience of the diverse educational programs and, more importantly, the individuals who work with the programs and how they assist you. Programs include the Business Network Team, the Agricultural Research and Educational Programs, our Aquaculture, Soil, Water Conservation, Food Marketing, and many other programs that benefit our area, our state of Ohio, and on a global basis. Next week, we start a new kind of format, and eventually what we're going to be doing is doing both radio and live TV programming here at the University of South Centers in collaboration with the University of Rio Grande and their diverse educational programs. Today we have guests that include Clarissa Gardner and Ryan Slaughter, and our moderators today will be Mick Witt. Mick is the Manufacturing Business Development Specialist, and Kimberly Rausch, who's our program assistant. Kimberly works with a number of different programs here at the university, and she's helping to establish the program formats. So I want to welcome Kimberly and Mick. Welcome.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a great day. If I fished, you know, I would.
You'd be fishing today, right?
Yes. But I don't fish, so someone else is going to have to do that.
All right. Well, we're just going to turn it over here quickly to Kim. And Kim, could you mind letting us know some of the upcoming events, things on the schedule?
Sure. I think in the past I mentioned that there's a quarterly manufacturing roundtable in June, but we're postponing that a bit. We're working on getting some really great speakers in for you. So that will be coming a little later on, that specific date. It will be held here at the South Centers, and Mick Witt is in charge of taking care of that. So we'll let you know more about that later. We do have an event, Social Media Time, it's called, on June 29th. And what I'm asking everyone to do is just send me an email about what you want to know about social media. We often have people come into class that have ideas about what they might like to learn, and then maybe my program's a little bit structured. So this one's going to be a little bit laissez-faire. So just let me know what you want to learn about. I'll bring everything I have with me just in case there's something that pops up that you want to know about. It will be held at the Southern Ohio Procurement Center in South Point. So look for information. You can check out our blog or send me an email, or just tune in our next time, and I'll tell you more details about where you can register for that. So let's see. We have an August 16 social media event also. It's Instagram and Pinterest Necessities. It will also be held at South Point, and we'll just talk about some of the important things you need to do with Instagram and Pinterest currently. There's also financial roundtable coming up. We're also working on a date, pinning down the date for that, but that's always a big hit. We have a lot of financial people in the room that talk about resources for businesses in the area, so that's always a really nice event. Chris Smalley, business specialist here with Small Business Development Center, coordinates that event. You'll be hearing more about that later. Let's see, we have November the 8th, another social media. It's big time social media. Everyone wants to know how and what and when. So creating compelling social media content is what's coming for November the 8th, and that will be held here at the South Center. So you can check our blog for details about that. Or email me. My email address is Rausch, R-O-U-S-H, .143@osu.edu, and I can send you information directly. We're also planning with one of our partners to give you some QuickBooks training. In the past, we've had specific schedule for QuickBooks, but now it's on kind of a need basis. So we're working on getting some of those classes here and up and ready for you. But by all means, if you have something you're interested in learning about, we'll give it a shot and try to create it. We have experts in generally most business areas here right at OSU South Center. So just send me an email if there's something you want to learn about.
Kimberly, just out of curiosity, QuickBooks is a really good educational program for startup of new businesses. Is that correct?
It is. It's used for your, business structure when you're talking about your financials, when you're talking about billing and receiving. There is a system where you can enter all your clients in and mail directly from the system. You can, some parts even, a bit of an inventory, but it's a little bit unique. But, yes, it can do a lot.
Yes, and it's not the only accounting software, but it makes it really good and very easy for businesses, et cetera. So, again, when is the QuickBooks training?
Well, we're still working on planning that. One of our partners, we have to get with one of our partners, and we'll get those details worked out for you. There is a beginning, an intermediate, and an advanced portion of that. I know some people, when you first start, it can be overwhelming, but once you get started, there's a lot of extra things that you can learn in the advanced classes.
You know, the nice thing about QuickBooks, many CPAs and bookkeeping services use that in conjunction. So if small businesses involved with accounting records, it works.
It's a very great system. You can email reminders or bill reminders out to clients, so it's really unique.
Well, very good.
A lot of people use it.
Very good. Mick, I understand you brought in a guest.
I did. One of the things I wanted to mention, though, as Kim was speaking, before we have some questions here for Carissa, is the facilities here. One thing that's very nice is it's very convenient, located right off of US 32 outside of Piketon. The easy parking right in front of the building. Sometimes you go someplace for training, you can't find where you're supposed to get, what door am I supposed to get, which building is it.
An extra fee for parking
exactly,
even sometimes.
Exactly. So we've got parking right here. We're right off of the highway. So it's a great place for those training events and for some of the other programs that are going on. So we do have program assistant, Carissa Gardner. And, Chris, I have some specific questions about some of the programs you're involved here with. But first, could you maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe some just general information about the types of things that you do here?
Sure. Well, as Mick said, my name is Carissa Gardner, and I have worked here at OSU South Centers for almost 5 years now. I am a program assistant, and I work in the departments of horticulture and direct marketing. In the horticulture department, I share duties and work with my colleagues Brad Burgerford and Gary Gow. And then over in direct marketing, I work with my colleague Christy Welch, who is the direct marketing specialist here at OSU South Centers. I do a little bit of everything in both departments, depending on what's going on. Anything from workshop preparation to website work to building and creating advertising materials for things that may be coming up for their events, the scheduling, contacts, pretty much just about anything that they need assisted with. I am the person that is there behind the scenes doing that.
Great. So we do have some questions to help get some of this information out. Could you possibly maybe tell us a little bit about the OSU direct marketing webinars?
Sure. Our OSU direct marketing webinars, those are basically built through our direct marketing team. Christy Welch, like I mentioned before, she's the head lead person. She is our direct marketing specialist, and she's our lead person on that, along with our other team members in our direct marketing department at OSU. The webinar series started at the beginning of the year, and we do it monthly. It is every single month, and it's the third Thursday of the month. It's always at 12 noon. It's a variety of speakers that speak. It's basically a neat way to train people or get word out or information out to just about anybody wanting information on different types of marketing that is out there. And our speakers are a variety of people that come from different background areas to assist with properly getting, it's like a mini training, so to speak, because they're an hour long. So, and again, they are monthly.
Okay. So what are some of the subjects that these webinars cover?
Okay. Well, in February, they did marketing trends that was learned from the Super Bowl. Eric Barrett and Rob Leeds, they're on our direct marketing team. Those were the speakers for that. And that was a great section, little session webinar. Basically, that particular subject area, what they focused on was how to market your product by using trendy little things that get people's attention. So that was kind of a neat one-hour series for people to listen in on. We do a lot of different things. This month, yesterday, we had Eric Pulowski from OFA that spoke, and he did product recall and traceability. That is a very difficult subject to cover in 1 hour because there's a lot of information. But there's a lot of people out there that need that information, and it's not always available, so it's a wonderful topic to be able to include. There's all kinds of things that we go over throughout the year. We try to make each subject something different so that we can reach out to a variety of people. And for anyone that misses a webinar, they're welcome to go to our website because these webinars are recorded, and so we post them on our website. And that particular website is go.osu.edu, Direct Marketing Webinars. And there is recordings there of not only this year, but the past 2 years that we've done the webinars.
Great. So actually, some may have specific topics or someone from a specific industry, but these are actually relevant to several industries that have this need for this to find this information.
Correct.
Okay. So is what is the next webinar that is scheduled and when is that?
Okay. Our next webinar is next month. Well, actually, it's this month because we're into June now. June. Sorry, I apologize. It's June 16th, Product Labeling, and Emily Adams from Ohio State University will be our speaker for that one. And as far as being a part of the webinars go, I don't know that we've mentioned this yet, all of those are through Carmen Connect, and we provide a link to those webinars each month. Several times we send out emails to people, and they're also available on our website that I mentioned earlier. You can go there for the links and also the recordings to be a part of the webinars.
Great. So I see there is a high tunnel course that is taking place next week. Can you tell us some more information about that?
Sure. Coming up next week on June 1st is our high tunnel integrated pest management training. This is actually our third year to be doing this training. We're doing it a little different this year. It's a one-day, full-day training, starting at 9 a.m. in the morning and going until 7 o'clock in the evening. We're holding that particular training up in Columbus at the OSU Waterman Agriculture and Natural Resources Farm. That particular training is hosted by Brad Burgerford and the OSU EIPM group. And, again, it is June 1st. Registration is going on. Publicly, we had a deadline yesterday as of May 26th to register, but if you still would like to be a part of it, you can still register by simply emailing me at gardner.1148@osu.edu, and I will still take your registration if you would like to be a part of that particular training.
So is there a cost for that training?
Yes. There is a cost. It's $35 per person, and that includes a light breakfast, some snacks. It includes your lunch, educational handouts, tours of the various tunnels, a high tunnel manual that will also be given out, and a flash drive with presentations.
Great. So what about, we hear this a lot here, what about the HOPS tours? that we inhaled.
Yes. Hops is a very hot topic right now and has been now for a couple of years that we've been into that. Our hops tours are the first Friday of every month. And we call them the First Friday Tours because they are the first Friday. We hold those here at Piketon, and we also hold them at our facility in Worcester. Recently, we haven't been able to do Worcester. We're back up and running now, so if anyone has called previously and didn't get to do that, they can. They are $15 per family. They're a two-hour tour. You can come and be a part of that and actually get to go out to our hops yard, tour the yard, do an educational portion. They talk about hop yard construction, establishment cost, vine training, irrigation, variety selection, fertilization. There's a lot of other things they also discuss, but the great part about it is they get to go out and actually see what's going on. The real experience is always the best way to know and see what how it relates to yourself, especially if you're a new grower or one that just started and would like to compare things to what you're doing at home.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that with the hops being a very trendy thing, I think we also see a lot of people that are just they just want to know more about it. They know people are doing it in the area. All right. Well, also today with us, we have Ryan Slaughter. He is the horticulture research assistant. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Much better now that you're here.
All right.
So let's just start off. You can give us a little, you know, kind of an overview of the entire program that you work with, some of the things that you yourself do, and the group that you work with.
Okay. Well, like you said, I'm a horticulture research assistant here at South Centers. I work primarily with Dr. Gary Gaw. He's head research for the small fruit program here at South Centers. We've got a few different programs right now that we're working on, first of which is we have a wine grape research and extension vineyard. We are the southernmost site for Ohio State University. There's two other research sites, one in Worcester, Ohio, at the OARDC campus, and then one in Kingsville, Ohio. That's up on the lake. So those three represent our different climate zones here in Ohio. And like I said, we represent the southern region. So growers here in southern Ohio look to us for different recommendations for fungicides and things like that. So that's one program area. Another is our superberry program. We're going into our second year with that. It's a grant-driven project, as is all of our projects. So we'll be finishing up with that. That entails kind of your normal crops you would think of, blackberries, blueberry, raspberry. Those are pretty typical crops that are grown here in the state of Ohio. But then also we wanted to look at alternative crops that the farmers could use here in Ohio to diversify their businesses. And three crops that we identified that might do well here in Ohio are elderberries, which are native to North America, aronia berries, which are also known as chokeberries, but they had a kind of a rebranding thing there because chokeberries isn't necessarily a good selling point for a name of a berry, so they call those aronia berries.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question? When I was growing up, we had a gooseberry bush. Are gooseberries still running around in southern Ohio?
Yes. We actually have a small gooseberry planting out in our research plots. So we no longer do research on them, but we have them just for people who want to come in and learn a little bit more about gooseberries. We have a small planting with, I think, four different varieties out there that would include black, red, a couple different shades of red. We do have those, and then we have some currant bushes out there, and that kind of falls into the same area as the gooseberry.
You just don't see them in the major produce sections.
You don't. They are good for fresh fruit. I mean, some of them are pretty tasty, but mostly processed products are made out of them, so jams and jellies, you'll see a lot of those, especially at farmers markets. You'll see a lot of people selling products with gooseberries in them. But as far as fresh fruit, you probably won't see those. And another thing, it seems to have had, like you said, a kind of a falling out here in the United States. I think if you talk to a lot of people, some of the older generations know more about gooseberries, at least speaking from my experience, younger generations don't really know about gooseberries or currants. But that's, you know, there's always potential for regrowth there, I guess, for this.
Do you ever host workshops that talk about how to grow some of these small fruits you're talking about?
Definitely. So another program that I forgot to mention is our container production. So we'll be planting a few different berries in those and seeing how they do in container or pots like you would put out on your patio or something like that. But we host. Currently, we've had three programs. Typically, we host one in the spring. It is usually called Berry School. So we'll have people come in. It'll be in the early spring, and we'll talk about anything new that we've got going on here with our programs. And then we'll take them out to the field, rain or shine or snow. Some years we've had them out there in the snow, and we'll show them how to prune everything, do your winter pruning for all our crops that we have out there in the fields, including the wine grapes and blackberries and raspberries and all that. And then we usually have one in the summer. We'll have a field night where we basically do the same thing, but we just talk about summer practices. And then in the winter, we try to have a wine quality analysis workshop. So that's a pretty fun workshop to go to.
Wine quality workshop. What would that be about?
Well, I think that's just a fancy way of saying like a wine tasting workshop.
Oh.
So the wine that we had here this year anyways was made from the grapes that we grew here at South Centers and also some wines that came from other sites, Worcester and Kingsville. But every year, that's what we do with our grapes. We'll take them to the wine lab in Worcester, and wine is made with those grapes, and then people can experience regional differences between the same types of wines throughout the state of Ohio.
So is that why so many people were walking around with purple feet?
Purple feet? Well, no, we did not do any grape stomping, wine tasting.
So how do you get the juice out? What, do you have, like, a press?
We do. At the wine lab in Worcester, they have a pretty nice facility. They have a press there that they put the grapes in, and then that juice goes in, and depending on what type of wine you want to make, red wines, that juice goes back on the skins because there's chemicals in the skins of the red grapes that you want in your wine. And then for white wines, then the skin would be removed and you just use the juice to ferment.
And now you piqued my interest about wine. You were talking about some of the other small fruits. Do you make wine with superberries or gooseberries or anything like that either?
We do not, but we did put in, I mentioned the elderberries. We put in a fairly large research plot of elderberries a couple years ago. And one of the reasons we did that was because, like I mentioned, the diversification for farmers to put in their own fields, different crops. There was some wineries that were making wines out of elderberries. So we thought we could go a couple different avenues there with that, processed products out of the elderberries, and then also go down the wine avenue for that product. But any of those products can be turned into wine if you wanted to.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, I have a question. If someone was looking for your workshops that are coming up here,
mm-hmm.
which sound like a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
where would they go to find out information about that?
You can visit southcenters.osu.edu, and all that information is posted regularly on that page. And then also Facebook, we have OSU South Centers Horticulture. That is a good place to look for information on workshops. And then there's other workshops that are posted on there, too, that people might be interested in.
Very nice, very nice. We really appreciate you being here. Is there anything else you want to add today? Or
Encourage everybody to come visit us.
Well, I would say yes, you could come down and visit and take a look at our plots. If you have any questions, you could contact us. And I'd also want to make a quick plug. I'd like to thank our grant writers or grant providers. That would be the Ohio Department of Agriculture, Ohio Grape Industries Committee, for the grants that they give us for these programs. So,
thank you for visiting us.
Yep, thank you very much.
As we see, we have a lot of great people here at the Ohio State University South Centers that are involved in many different aspects, whether it's agriculture, horticulture, whether it's farming, whether it's business. And I think it's just fantastic to work amongst the sea of really good and nice people. Don't you think?
Definitely. We're a unique facility here. We have a lot of resources on agriculture and business development. One location.
And, you know, it's also fortunate that we work with a number of different businesses that are very, very good at what they do. As a matter of fact, do you have something that you want to share with the listening audience about an outside business we work with?
I do. Last week I told you a little bit about a company we work with. This week I'm going to tell you about an international trade, or now it's called Export Center, client that we worked with. One of the counselors here helped her develop some strategies. So I'll just go ahead and read the story. Katie Fisher is a faculty member at Athens Community Music School in Ohio. And her responsibility included teaching private piano lessons as well as coordinating group lessons for beginners. When Katie was a graduate student just over 10 years ago, she met another student, Dr. Julie Neer, with the same interest in creating piano methods. So Julie is on the private faculty of Hart School of the Music Community Division in West Hartford, Connecticut. So those two teamed up to develop something that was very unique. The two worked on their first book over many years and actually started their own business in 2012. They formed an LLC and began selling Piano Safari Method, it's called, so for beginners. And this is what they used in their private classes they were teaching in their relative areas. Katie said, "We have now created other levels in addition to the first level of Piano Method, which is an instructional material for beginning piano students, and we sell it online. So if you're in need of piano booklets and lessons, you might check them out online. Again, that's Piano Safari Method. And they currently have print, and then they distribute and ship material all over the world. It's an international trade. So components, they work together with students with a solid foundation to help build a solid foundation in musical literacy. One is called Learning by Eye. One is called Learning by Ear, which is really interesting. The Piano Safari target market is piano teachers and parents. So when they began looking for their market, they started visiting, they decided to come to the International Trade Center here on site and get a little bit of help, assistance, to market their wares all over the world. So they said it was difficult to ship their material because it was expensive, so they were looking for ways to lessen their cost. So one of our counselors here helped her and answered questions very quickly and helped her develop a solution for this problem. So
it's
a really great company.
Yes. That's one of many different companies that we have. You know, Kim, one of the things that I like about these broadcasts and like about working with people like Mick and you and Ryan and Clarissa, there's opportunities to do things. And one thing that I like about the University of Rio Grande and Ohio State University South Centers is that not only are they sayers, but they are also doers. And I think that's very important in our world today. Kimberly, I want to thank the listening audience. I want to thank you and Mick and all the people that have been here. Please tune in next Thursday at 9:30. I'm Patrick.
I'm Kimberly.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.